us, and God is set to do us good. Amen. I think it was on Sunday we were reading Acts chapter 10, right? The story of the centurion. Peter and the centurion, alright? Okay, so, and that was Acts chapter 10. A whole lot of things that we read there, which also apply to what we'll be discussing today. But then, while I was getting ready for this service, certain stories in the scripture jumped at me. But then we start from Romans 15 verse 4, so that we give perspective to it. Good evening to those online and those that will be listening days after this has been ministered. Hallelujah. Romans 15 verse 4 says, whatever things were written before were written for our learning and whatever things that were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Amen. Always have this at the back of your mind anytime you open the scriptures. Hallelujah. This is very important, because we know when we started reading the Bible at tender age, I mean, if you are privileged to go to a school that will teach Christian religious studies or whatever name they call it, or Bible study, it was what they gave us were Bible stories. Hallelujah. So it looked like stories, okay? And I mean, they tried their possible best, but they just were stories to us. So we look at the story of Samson, and we think of a very strong man, and that's all we knew. Samson that can kill a lion, okay? And then we look at the different stories, the story of Adam and Eve. We look at, they just brought out all the stories to us. And so many of the stories we are familiar with, but the depth of many of the stories we may not have been familiar with when we were growing up. Maybe now that we have moved, and we are more matured in the things of God, we look at those stories and be like, oh my God, these are the things that they were saying. You know, I often, every time I have the opportunity, I always remember when people pray that may we deliver like a Hebrew woman, and I always laugh because it was just in total error. Amen. So when we hear, and you see, and that's why you have to go and read these things yourself. You need to read the scripture yourself, because sometimes, if I'm saying it and I'm passing a story across, I'll pick what I think is relevant. So for the teachers amongst us, you know, when you say you should summarize, if somebody gives you a chapter, if the teacher gives us a chapter to summarize, somebody will summarize and come up with four lines, and he has summarized. Somebody will summarize and come up with two paragraphs for a whole chapter, and they both have summarized, but they have done it based on their own understanding. Okay, and based on their knowledge. Okay, so they are understanding their knowledge. That's how they have summarized. Now, if you now read both, you see that one will be more detailed than the other, although both of them are summaries. But then, in even the one that I look detailed, if you look at what they are written, and then you go back to read the main chapter, you'll be like, why did this guy throw this one and this one? If he had put this and added this, it will have formed a bigger picture, and they will have understood exactly where the chapter ended. Okay, so when people tell us about stories in the scriptures, it is always good that we go and we read them. And every time I say it, the Hebrew women, they were giving birth to a child like the Hebrew women was, in quotes, is fictitious. Because the Egyptian women were actually going to lie, they were lying to Pharaoh because they had allowed the Hebrew women to give birth. And they said, wow, okay, so what are we going to say? When we are asked, we say, these women, they don't need help. They just gave birth, and that is it. Hallelujah. Amen. But you and I know that the Hebrew women did not give birth just like that. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's be zealous with knowledge. Hallelujah. That's not to say that people cannot give birth without pain. Amen. That's not to take away the miracle part of it. But that's to put you in the right perspective, so that when you are praying, you'll get it right. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. So, the first story that comes to my mind was the story of the Samaritan, okay, at the gate. And I was like the one that was in doubt that God cannot do anything about the situation of the land, okay, by this time tomorrow. So, if you go to 2 Kings chapter 17, Second Kings chapter 7. I was going to start from verse 3, but let me start from verse 7. Second Kings chapter 7 from verse 1. It says, then Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a seah of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. So an officer on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, look, if the Lord will make windows in heaven, will this thing be? And he said, in fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat it. Hallelujah. Amen. It says you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat it. Amen. So, first thing, if you don't understand God, don't doubt him. Hallelujah. And then do not limit him. Amen. Do not limit whatever he's been told to you that he can do. Okay? So this is the one of the officers, and he's saying that even if God opened the windows of heaven. And now if he had been a good student of history, he would have remembered the fact that he's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Hallelujah. Amen. He would have remembered all those things in history that had been handed over. And the reason why I say he would have remembered is that everybody that told us about the things that God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob did, okay, they were about in the same generation. Okay? And they all refer to the fact that this is the God of Abraham. So for him to now say, even if he made windows in heaven, that's a total insult. And Elijah did not take it easy with him. He said, you know what? Elisha did not take it with him. He said, you know what? And he said, in fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat it. Hallelujah. He wasn't in doubt. And he knew that was an insult to the capability and the capacity of God. Now, it's not the officer that I'm even bothered about. I want to talk to us about the leprous men. Okay? They were at the gate. So if you go to chapter verse 3, it says, now there were 4 leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, why are we sitting here until we die? So the situation in the land was so bad that they were eating, they were buying poop from animals, okay? Very expensive, okay? And it was so bad. Now the leprous people were like, there were 4 leprous men at the entrance, and they said to one another, why are we sitting here until we die? Okay, if we say we will enter the city, famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore, come, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall only die. And they rose at the twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of the chariots and the noises of horses, the noise of a great army. So they said to one another, look, king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites, the king of Egyptians, to attack us. Therefore they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact, their tents, their horses, and their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. Now it was no coincidence. The leprous men got up at twilight. The camp of the Syrians, okay, they fled at twilight because they said they heard. What they heard was like the horses of mighty kings that they feared and they couldn't wait for. Now, God didn't have to open any window in heaven. He didn't have to open any door in heaven, okay? He just simply showed that, just like we were praying, that his thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are far above our ways. So when one is sitting down there that everything looks so bleak, okay, another man is saying, I have a God that does not lie and cannot lie. Hallelujah. And can do far more than you can think. Amen. All he needs you and I to do is to cooperate. Hallelujah. But you see, from the leprous men, one thing that happened that came to me was that, see, God doesn't move until men move. Hallelujah. So you're waiting for a miracle. You're waiting for God to do something. God does not move until man shows the willingness to act in God's direction. Hallelujah. And he would use any vessel that is so ready. Okay, so imagine that, so these are leprous men. They are not men that have levantiasis. So it's not that their legs are heavy. Have you seen leprous people before? Okay, so some of them, their skin will be white if it's just started. Yeah, you're right. And then it begins to eat up their digits. And then it becomes like a stub. And the same thing happens to their feet. So it's not that their feet are heavy. So it's not that maybe they were carrying their feet and they were stomping. And there's no way four men would be walking and stomping, okay? And then a whole army of a nation will think that four or five nations are coming towards them. Hallelujah. Amen. So begin to put these things in perspective. So the leprous men just looked at things around them and said, look, yeah, this is at this point that we are going forward, no loss. Staying here, no loss. Because he looked to them that if we go forward and we enter the camp, they'll just kill us. If we stay here, they'll just kill us. Okay? But at the instance of their inner mind, they moved. Hallelujah. So they looked at the two situations and said, look, if we just sit here and we are not doing anything about our situation, we will just die. So the conclusion of the matter is that if we sit here and we don't do anything, we die. Then if we make a move, okay, and we go into the camp of the enemies, okay, and they look at us and say, you guys, leprous, you guys from Samaria, and they kill us. It's the same endpoint. But then, the probability of survival is higher when we move. Hallelujah. That was their thought. And it was God that was working in them. Amen. Okay? Just that, without extrapolating, it was God that was working in them. Because when they began to move, he said they moved at twilight. It was the same time they began to move at twilight that the army of the Syrians began to hear thoughts as though a whole army of four nations were coming towards them. Now we have to get to that point where we understand. And this is one of the things why a lot of people make fun of the Christendom. Because a lot of people will believe and will do nothing about what they believe. Hallelujah. Amen. So there was also this story I read that someone came, he went to a minister and he was saying, I have needs. I need food and all that. Nothing to eat at all. And so the minister just prayed for the person. And deep down, it was just like, if this person needs food and you have food, is it time to pray or is it time to lend out food? Hallelujah. Because you already know what he needs. And it's not far from you. Amen. Amen. Now, if the person that was coming to the minister, okay, to pray and say, look, I have needs, he probably wasn't even thinking in his mind that he will give him food. But if the minister was in place of listening to God and God says, move and give the person food, you know that's a miracle that has happened. Hallelujah. Amen. So one man believes that if he approaches God, okay, he will have a solution. And then the man that, in quote, can hear God, hallelujah, is listening to God as God is saying, do this. And he's not doing it. He has missed an opportunity to make a miracle happen. Hallelujah. Because he's not listening or he's not hearing God. Amen. When men move, I think Satan is the one that says that it looks like God doesn't do anything unless men pray. Hallelujah. And what is prayer? It's communication. It's not kneeling down and folding arms and raising up holy hands. Hallelujah. It's communication. Two people, it's two-way communication. I speak, you speak. Hallelujah. I give instructions, you take it, you ask me questions, and that's communication. So, I've been saying, it looks like God doesn't move except men pray. It doesn't mean that the men will stay in one place. It's like, except men ask or inquire. Then that's when God will move. So the miracles we look for are actually on the inside of us. Amen. The miracles we desire are actually within us. Hallelujah. Because he has given to us that spirit that searches out his will and that knows his will. Amen. So if he's saying to you, do this, and you're not doing it, then there's going to be a problem. I've told you the story before where how I got to Lagos. I would have just stayed where I was and be happy with whatever I was earning, okay, and living on. But I just knew there was more to life than what I was doing at that point in time. So I approached the set man. And of course, he said, what do you want? What do you want? And I said, look, I just want to go to a place where God will prosper me. I don't know. I wasn't even thinking about where the city I'm in right now or the city I went to. I just said, just send me where you prosper me. I think I've done where I am. Man needs to make that move. Hallelujah. Okay? See, God is not moving towards man. Hallelujah. It's man that needs to move towards God. Amen. God is not in the, he's not going to create anything anymore. He's done. He did work in 6 days and he rested. And everything, he gave everything that he created authority to do what? To reproduce after his kind. Everything that he created. So if you go back to Genesis chapter 1, you will see it. And then the earth brought forth. And then the earth did this. And then everything. So God is not going to create anything anymore. And then when he created man, he put man in the garden to tend it, right? And he had everything at his disposal. And even when God pushed man, when man pushed himself out of the garden, because it wasn't God, it was man. When man pushed himself out of the garden, okay, God still made provision for him outside of the garden. Although where he was not as organized, in quote, as where he found himself. But wherever he found himself, God still made sure that he made provision for his need. So what man was doing then was now to be looking for God. And God did not go anywhere. God was right there where he put man. The man moved away from. Hallelujah. So if, and that's why he says, I think it's Jeremiah 29, verse 11. This is the thing with this paper Bible. It's electronic now. Well, I opened it. Yeah. So from verse 11, it says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not God looking for man anymore. God has done everything that he has to do. It is man that has departed from where God put him that has to seek him and find him. And he says, look, I am not going to be playing hide and seek with you. If you seek me with all your heart, then you will find me. Amen. So the leprous man moved in God's direction, hallelujah, and God responded. And then what the officer thought would not happen, let's go back to 2 Kings chapter 7. What the officer thought would not happen, happened. 2 Kings. Oh, yeah. So verse 7 says, therefore they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact, their tents, their horses, their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. And when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent and ate and drank, and carried from it silver and gold and clothing, and went and eat them. Then they came back and entered another tent, and carried some from there also, and went and eat it. Then they said to one another, we are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, and we remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now therefore, come, let us go to tell the king's household. So they went and called to the gatekeeper of the city, and told them, saying, we went to the Syrian camp, and surprisingly no one was there, not a human sound, only horses and donkeys tied and tents intact. And the gatekeepers called out and told it to the king's household inside. So the king arose in the night and said to his servants, let me now tell you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we are hungry, therefore they have gone out. Amen. You know what this king is saying? He says they know that we are hungry, so they have gone to hide so that you can come and they can get. Then the guy trapped. It's like a trap. But do you know that in this age and time, okay, that's how people are taking the scriptures. When the scripture is saying something, and then they begin to twist it and say, that was in those days. Hallelujah. They will not see the handwriting of God in anything because they will not believe. Now, this is the king. And if you remember what this Bible teaches, taught us about the kings in Israel, they had the scriptures. They were the only ones. They had access to the scriptures. So morning, day, and night, they were sleeping with it. And when God was telling them, he said, look, these kings, they will grow, and then they will be lovers of themselves. They will acquire to themselves chariots and everything. But they had the scriptures. And then they will bring it out once in a year to read to the people. Hallelujah. Now, this is somebody that is supposed to be a custodian of the scripture, that then is thinking and saying, this can't be God. The leprous people that were not even meant to be seen in the city had gone to tell them that this is what has happened and this is what is happening. And then they couldn't believe. Amen. When people begin to limit God, okay, they are the ones that will not experience what God has done. Hallelujah. Amen. Because whether they believe it or not, they cannot limit what God has already done. They can't change it. Hallelujah. They are the ones that won't have access to what he has done. And what is important in all these things is that the fact that you know, it says that eye has not seen, nor has he entered into the heart of men, what God has in store for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Because you will not know except you have access to it. And in the place of having access, you have to have that open mind and believe that he is the only true God. Amen. Hallelujah. And so the king himself said that when they come out of the city, we shall cut them alive and get into the city. And one of his servants answered and said, please let several men take 5 of the remaining horses which are left in the city. Look, they may either become like all the multitude of Israel that are left in it, or indeed, I say, they may become like all the multitude that are left from those who are consumed. So let us send them and see. Therefore, 2 chariots with horses, and the king sent them in the direction of the Syrian army, saying, go and see. And they went after them to Jordan, and indeed all the road was full of garments and weapons. Hallelujah. So they're more like, this is more like being like Thomas. This is the Old Testament version of Thomas. Hallelujah. Amen. But you see, for the love that God has for us, we look at the story of the lost son. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 from verse 11. And this was a parable, and this is written in red letters in the printed Bible. It says, Luke 15 verse 11 says, then he said, a certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided them to his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Amen. And that's just the lie of the devil. So, I mean, he goes to his father. He sees that his father is rich. He goes to his father. He's not content with what he has. And then demands and says, everything will be for my brother and I. Give me my portion. Okay? And then that's how the devil tricked him. The Bible says that when he had spent all, the famine came. Why wasn't there famine when he had money? Amen. When he had money, he was living riotously, in quotes, because they said he was prodigal. And then suddenly when his money ended, that was when famine came. It wasn't that, that famine that came was not to him. It was famine to the land. So he had no money, and then there was famine in the land. Abi? And then he did what? After a while, he came to his senses. The Bible says, then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with pots that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, I will arise and do what? And go to my father. Amen. Meaning that, number one, he knows very well where to find his father. Okay? So whose responsibility was this to go and look for the father? Him. Because he was the one that left the place where his father kept him. Where his father's eyes can be on him. He was the one that left it. And you know what? The Bible didn't record that the father went looking for him. The Bible says the father was just longing that one day he will come. 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 Meaning that one day he will move towards his father. And the Bible says that he says, I will arise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Hallelujah. If you are looking for a miracle, you have to move towards the Father. Amen. So if you look at this story, this parable of the lost son in the Bible is an image or a parable that shows the relationship between Christ and us, okay? But it was just told in the form of this son that took all that his father had, went to squander it, and then he looked at it, and then he came to himself. Hallelujah. So it's very important that you need to evaluate your behavior at every point in time. Hallelujah. He said then he came to himself, meaning that at the point where he asked for his inheritance, which because it's not normal. So usually you get inheritance after somebody has died. Okay? A will comes into existence or into force when the testator has passed away. Hallelujah. And then that will it comes into force. And they begin to read and say, okay, this person goes to this one goes to this. And if you have a very good father, he just reads the will and say, my peace I have left with you. I've taught you everything that I needed to teach you while I was alive. I hope you learned everything. Go in peace and enjoy what you have taken from me while I was alive. If you have a very good father. Hallelujah. Because the people that have problems are the ones that somebody left something for. Someone left the house, and then 15 of them were fighting on the house. So if the man had just written that, this is my will and testament. I sent all of you to school. Ensure that what you learn from school, you go and learn, make use of it. It's just that people like Auntie Remy won't have anybody to defend. Hallelujah. Amen. So that there won't be any trouble in the world. Everybody just know that man, this is what he's going to write to, that I should go and work the more. You know, and then some people will just take everything they have. When they see that they are in old age, they sell it off, okay, and then give the money to charity. And so when they die, everybody that thinks that they are going to feast on somebody else's labor, they just get there and there's nothing. Okay, so this boy, so he was not in his senses because he was acting for something abnormal, okay, and he was doing something out of the ordinary. And then he says, when he came to himself, he went to look for his father because his father was still where he was. Hallelujah. Where he left him. Amen. When we need miracles, okay, we have to move from the faith place of, in quote, unbelief, or the faith place of where we need, to a place where the father actually is, where he has made provision. Hallelujah. Amen. I was referring to the story of Peter and the centurion. I think Acts chapter 10, I think it's in verse 44. He said, while Peter was still telling these stories, he was telling the centurion and the people that the centurion gathered. He was talking to them about Christ. Hallelujah. He was talking to them from the beginning. And then he says, this Christ is the same one that you and I witnessed. Okay? And he said, as he was speaking, as he was witnessing, The Spirit of God fell upon all of them. This is why Peter was still speaking these words. The Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. Hallelujah. But you know what happened? The centurion had an encounter with the angel. And then the angel says, you need to go look for this man. Okay? And then, at the same time, God appears to Peter and says, look, there's nothing that is unclean. And Peter kept struggling and said, this is what is going to happen. And then, when the centurion's people came to him, okay, he moved and he went. Look, the centurion was looking for God. Hallelujah. The Bible records that the centurion was a devout man, yeah, that was always praying and giving alms to God. Hallelujah. And the reason why I know that is the same God that you and I are talking about is because the fact that God moved his angel to appear to him. So if he had been praying to a different God, God would not have showed up. Hallelujah. Those people that are worshiping Baal, did God show up for them? No. It was the people that were worshiping him that God would appear to and say, look, we need to deal with these people that are not worshiping me. And then whatever will happen, will happen. So if the centurion was not actually worshiping the God that you and I know, then he would not have sent his angel. Hallelujah. And you know what? The people were eager to find God. He says that, look, God has said that I should look for you. And now you're here. Let us hear what he has to tell us. Amen. It's a longing for God and an appetite for God that gives us that access to him, to the things that he has done. Hallelujah. Amen. And so he says, next verse. And then, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Hallelujah. God was where he was. And the people that received were the people that opened up their hearts to hear the word and to accept it. And he said, whilst he was still preaching, saying the word, the Spirit of God fell upon all of them. Amen. The Spirit of God fell of all of them, so that we don't travel too far. In the same Luke, I think it's Luke chapter 8. Yeah, from verse 43. It says now, Luke 8:43. It says now, a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately a flow of blood stopped. Hallelujah. Amen. It says the woman, okay, had a flow, and then she came from behind and touched. She moved towards God. Hallelujah. Amen. She moved towards God. It says, she came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? And when all denied, Peter and those with him said, Master, the multitude is strong and press you. And you say, who touched him? But Jesus says, somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from him, from me. Hallelujah. Amen. The woman with the issue of blood moved towards God. Hallelujah. Knowing fully well that that is going towards him, or having faith in him, okay, will give her access to what she wanted. Hallelujah. And once she had the access, okay, that faith gave her access. Everything became normal. Amen. People say that these are stories. But Romans 15 verse 4 says that whatever things were written before, they were written for our learning. And the ultimate goal is that so that we may have hope and comfort. Hallelujah. Amen. See, God is not going to draw us closer to him. We are the ones that is going to draw close to him. Why? Because he's given us his son already. says, whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And because he has given us his son, we have access. You know, that symbolic veil that was torn, that was ripped up into two, okay, he gave us access to the throne of mercy. So he's not going to leave his throne, huh, and move out and say, I'm coming out of the veil. He has created that access by his son so that we can come in through that to and approach his throne of mercy and obtain. Hallelujah. Amen. And obtain. You know how to obtain. You know how to obtain. You know those that obtain. You know when people obtain. You have to take. You have to lay hold of it, of the things that you want. Amen. He's not going to move his throne, move it towards you. Amen. He has created that access for you to come to that throne. And if you are not going to come to that throne, then you are not going to have. I mean, see, you can, you know, if you park an electric car in this compound, for instance, we can all admire the electric car from outside, right? But do you know that the beauty of the electric car or whatever car it is does not lie on the outside? The beauty lies on the experience of having a ride in that car. So if the car is there and the doors are open and nobody goes inside, it's just like when you go to a showroom and then you are looking at the car. It's a showroom, and you are looking at the car and you won't go inside the car. There's a problem because it's a showroom. When you go to a showroom, you're supposed to go into the car, demand for the key, start the engine, and ask, can I drive? Because that's when you'll be able to understand what they are putting down for you to buy. Hallelujah. The showroom is not going to come to you. And they're not going to drive their car to your house and say, come, we are selling you, come and drive. No. You have to go there and then take control of the access that you have been given and enjoy what is there. Amen. So you can look at the throne of mercy from afar and be like, God is good, and I know he's good. But if you don't approach that throne, you can never understand how good he is. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, that's my accident story. I'll bring the pictures one day. I stumbled on the pictures some 2 weeks ago of the wreckage of the car. And I looked at the wreckage of the car again, and I'm like, this can only be God. Hallelujah. I looked at the wreckage of the car, I'm like, this car, it can only be God. You cannot experience God from afar. You have to move towards the Father. Amen. And when you move to where the Father is, let's go back to Luke chapter 15. Let's finish it up there. Let's go back to Luke chapter 15. See the reaction of the Father. He says in verse 20, he says, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to his father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. The father only moved when the son was within his vicinity. Amen. He says, look at this. He says, let's go back to 20. He says, he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Hallelujah. But before him making the move to come into the place where the father was, the father didn't go out of where he was. Amen. And it took him coming to himself and knowing fully well that except without this man, I am nothing. And with him, I'm everything. And even at that, he was even very humble and saying, let me just be one of your father. And his father said, no. And then he made a feast because his son returned. And don't worry about the second son. That's one. That one is a story for another day. That's the story of the stalites. You know those Christians are stalites. that's another one. The experience of the second son is the story of the ones that are stalites. As long as you are with the father, then you can place a demand. Hallelujah. It says, concerning the works of my hand, do what? Command ye me. Hallelujah. Amen. God didn't say we should be economical around him. He said, ask, and you shall be given. Hallelujah. But you cannot ask where you do not have access. You cannot ask from afar. You have to be in the place where he is. Let's rise to our feet. And let's just talk to God this evening. There's a place where God, where man, there's a place where man and God meets. And that's the place of in the spirit. Hallelujah. And the Bible records that he said he will send to us a helper. Hallelujah. Okay, the one that will bring to remembrance everything that he has taught us. Hallelujah. Amen. That will bring to remembrance everything that he has taught us. And the reason why he's bringing it to remembrance, so that we can make use of the words that he has spoken to us even before now. So that we can see the things that he expects us to see. Let's just talk to him. Give him praise. Thank him, because as he implants in our spirit, man, hallelujah, and as we move, not because we are not lazy, we are in a place of prayer, looking, getting instructions, and going in the direction of instructions that God has given to us. And as we move, indeed, we will encounter God, hallelujah, we will encounter God. Peter, the spirit would not have been able to fall on the household of the centurion, okay, if Peter had not gone, and if Peter had not been preaching the word of God. People must move in God's direction for them to experience God. The woman with the issue of blood would not have experienced a healing if she had not moved in the direction of Christ and pulled the hem of his garment. Hallelujah. Underlining fact is that everyone has faith in God. Amen. And that faith is what moves you towards God. God is not going to come towards you. You are going to go towards God. And when you come into the vicinity of God, things will happen. Hallelujah. Our hearts and our spirit has to be in the right frame, in the right state, going through the appropriate channel and asking God according to his will. And the Bible says, the will of God is made known in his word. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. Thank you for your word. Thank you because indeed you will not leave us without a witness. Thank you because things will happen. Hallelujah. And indeed, miracles will happen in our lives in Jesus' name. Situations that look too high. Hallelujah. In quotes, that's what they look like. They look too high. But you are God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can imagine or dare to think. Thank you. Because you bring everything. Even you make us to see things in the way that you see them. Hallelujah. So the things that we think are too high, the things that we call mountains, because to you, everything is a plane. We will see right the way you see them indeed in Jesus' name. Thank you, everlasting King of glory, that no situation is above us. Hallelujah. No temptation is above us. It says you count it all joy because we are able to overcome. Hallelujah. We give you all the praise because we are able to overcome. Father, we thank you. We magnify your name. Limbrasaka panka poske talida rabasegea. Ingasa talinga kaposka talida rabasegea. Lift up your voice and lift up your rest, man. Graboska eka labasada and speak in the spirit. Hallelujah. Inka tabuba kalingra da sanka bosadea. Eka tanda skateze kabuka tanda lida. Eklanda sekra basanga lida rabasegea. The spirit of God is here. Hallelujah. He says, what you are laying down at my feet right now, I am taking it from you. Because you are laying it down. Hallelujah. If you hold on to it, he can't do anything about it. Hallelujah. He says, that thing that you are laying down right now, indeed, it remains with him. And you are free. Catalina, Ekanda Lu Pradis Catalinga da Basataria, Ekasasa Platumbra da Basicalia, Ekatumbra da Tingra Dis Catalinga da Basadaya, Ekrados Catana Liga Trans Catabrose de Liga Daya, Eka Paseca La Banca Tanda Liga, Ekanda Secra Dos Cadia. In him, there is always room for more. Mans Catalina, Eka Prasaca Liga da Basagaya, Eka Boca Tanda Liga da Basagaya. And this is for someone, Manda Sataya. He told Abraham, Mask as far as you can see, hallelujah. As far as you can see, and that tells me something. Mask Abraham and God, Mask they must have been standing within the same reference position. Hallelujah. And God is saying, as far as you can see, and whatever he saw, Mank God gave to him. Hallelujah. And then he has given us a much better option. He says he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above that we can dare to think or imagine. Hallelujah. Because he's not a limited God. Hallelujah. Even your thinking cannot fear God. Hallelujah. He's able to meet it. He's able to surpass it. Lay down everybody. Hallelujah. Katanda Braskata Luma Sadaria, Lekana Sotanda Pratuska Dalia, Ekato Pratiska Dalik Rabuka Davasadalia, speak to him Braskata Bosa de Yalabasadia, Ekra da Bosca Tabunga Baseka Liga da Basadia, Eka Patenda Bosca da Linga da Seria, as you pray in the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, Ekatoska Tabuska there, you're bringing an enemy that goes higher and higher, hallelujah, Epa Sambra Roska da Babalia, Ekas Catalinda La Bosa de Linga da Tia, Ekra Toma. Katanda Skatena Lika Rabasadea, Eka Lekra to Pratis Catalia, Eka Basata Linga Rabasakea. When you ask him, Makaliskatea, he's able to do it. Hallelujah. Eka Boscaria, according to his will, Mans Catalaya, E Praska Safrodis Cataliga Rabadea, Linkas Catapuca, Disca Liga Rabascaria, Eka Stato Prasetea. The Lord will lift the pain, Malabadea, off you, Mans Catalia, Ekra Dans Catapuscaria, Eka Limna Sota Liga Rabasadea. In the twinkle of an eye, just as it happened in Samaria, hallelujah. In the twinkle of an eye, whatever was not enough, hallelujah. Whatever was cast, at the turn of the day, hallelujah. There will be more than enough, hallelujah. There'll be more than enough. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise. We give you all the glory, Father. We thank you, Lord, because you answer prayers. Thank you because we walk with you in a different perception, Lord God. Thank you because we walk with you in the right perspective of mind. Hallelujah. Thank you because we come to you. Hallelujah. Not in fear, hallelujah, but in awe of you as we approach your throne, hallelujah. And we made a demand on the things that Christ has provided for us. He said he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Thank you, Lord, for good health. Thank you for divine health, hallelujah. Thank you for help on every side, hallelujah. Thank you for that edge all round about us, hallelujah. That no serpent can break into, hallelujah. We give you all the glory, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.